Open your Bibles up to the book of Acts, chapter 20. We already read the verse. You have your faith journals with you. Open those up. Begin to write down the things that God's speaking to you about. So we heard a lot about our trip to Haiti last week. Quite different from our family's typical lifestyle here. I'm going to be going now this coming Wednesday. I'll be on vacation for 2 weeks. Donovan's going to be preaching. Brother Billy's going to be preaching after that. I'm going to Alaska, me and Terry. So yeah, it's coming up. We talked about this. We talked about this for our 25th wedding anniversary. Couldn't swing it. Kids were getting out of school and are in school. I'm not sure. 5 years ago, where were you guys? 5 years ago, we don't. Just about to graduate, and we said, you know what? We're gonna have to put this off to 30. So we've been preparing and always wanted to go to Alaska. Really excited. Huh? 30 years. 30 years coming up in September. Praise the Lord. But it's hard to come home from Haiti and not look at life differently. And Haiti, compared to my life, just such a radical, completely can't conceive of it difference until you experience it. The title of my message, Of Rice and Beans and Reservations, all right? What, Jillian and Scott and Karen, did we have for dinner or lunch probably 7 out of 10 times, right? Rice and beans. We had lots and lots of rice and beans. Now, we made a joke out of it after a while. It's like, what are we having for dinner? Oh, it's rice and beans, you know? And we laugh about that, but for them, it's more than just, we think, well, we want something different. They're thinking, I just want something, right? So, of rice and beans and reservations, you'll find out what the reservations are about. Let's read our verse. We already read it, but we can't read the Word of God and get it too deeply in our hearts. So let's stand together. We're going to read it again. Got a few more verses tacked on to the beginning of that. We'll read together. Let's read. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Lord Jesus, infuse your words into our hearts, into our lives, that it might become a natural outpouring of this truth being bearing fruit in our relationships, in our work, in our families, in our life decisions. Do your work, Holy Spirit. Our hearts are open to say, have your will, have your way. In Jesus' name, and amen, amen. You may be seated. So yeah, but it's more than just we had rice and beans all the time. I mean, that certainly was the least of the Haitian people's problems, isn't it? Look at some of these statistics. Population's about the same population as Michigan, about 10 million people. Life expectancy, 62, 63 years. Is that a little different from us? Shaving about 20 plus years off of life expectancy growing up in Haiti. Yearly income, $81,700 a year. Oh, nope, not really. $817 a year. A year. But the poorest in the Western Hemisphere, third poorest in the world. Is that a little different from our lives? It's more than rice and beans, isn't it? Literacy rate, 60%, compared to 95.5% in our nation. The number of people per one physician, 4,000 people for every one doctor. Tack that down to the bullet point at the bottom. The yearly health care spending, $77. That's like one prescription for half of us, right? And for infant mortality, for every 1,000 live births, 59 die. 59 die. Only 7.5 in the U.S. Now that says for live births. I don't know what that means for miscarries and things of that nature. I'm sure there's more to that story. Maternal mortality, mothers that die in childbirth, 160 per 100,000 births, compared to 12 in the U.S. It's more than just rice and beans, isn't it? Far, far more. And the reservations. It's not, I'm reserved, I'm not sure about this. It is, I got reservations in Alaska. I got reservations in Alaska. This is our 30-year trip. We have been preparing and saving and working, paying off debt, and getting ready. And you know what? I got to tell you, we're kind of doing it up good. It's going to be a nice vacation. We're going to be staying in places we never stay in because that's not how we typically vacation. So you got rice and beans and you got reservations, you know? But it's more than just about where I'm going on vacation or whether or not they have variety of food. You know, one of the first things we heard getting off the bus when we got there was, okay, everybody, there's a little thing. Yes, Jillian, I'm going there. When things are a certain color, you let it mellow. When things are another certain color, you flesh it down. Okay, does that fill in the blank there? If it's yellow, let it mellow. That means you leave it. They don't have the water to flush whenever you want. When it's brown, flush it down. Sorry to gross you out. That's the way it works. And you know what? Their septic systems can't handle toilet paper, so just leave it in the garbage can next to the toilet. So we're a little different, little things that we take for granted here. You know, guess what's going to be running all the time that I am gone in Alaska in my house? No, I'll probably turn that down. My fridge. My fridge is going to be running the whole time. And you know what I'm going to find when I get back from Alaska? Food in my fridge that's been cold. They have fridges in Haiti? No. They don't have fridge. They don't even have electricity, let alone refrigerators. Snacks. Grab a snack. Hey, that's not a big deal. Hey, got home. Guess what I jumped into when I got off the airplane? My car. Off I drove. They don't have cars. There's no cars there. Eating out, something we kind of take for granted as part of our entertainment. That's just not even in their mindset. Eating out, going and spending, depending on the size of your family, $40, $80, $100 to go out to eat. It's just not in their mindset. You know, going to the doctors, take it for granted, right? My house, my goodness, I live in a mansion compared to the little square rooms that they called home, with no windows or maybe something hung in front of the door, which they spent most of their time out in front of, you know. What would we be saying if there was no air conditioning in church? Gosh, so hot, you know. We don't even think, that's just, hey, this, if that church don't have air conditioning, man, I'm going to the one down the road, right? Yeah, they're happy to have a church or a place under a tree. We didn't get to see, you know, one of their churches, but, you know, what am I going to have for lunch today? We had that last week. Are my children going to eat today? That was one of their questions. So, and here I come back knowing, getting off the plane, knowing that in 2 weeks after I got off, I was flying away to places that my vacation could pay for these people's, I mean, at $800, I could pay for a lot of people's annual livelihood. And now I put those two together, so rice and beans and my reservations, our lives, our everyday lives. Is it a sin to live like we do? Ever thought about, I mean, when you're faced with this, to live like I do and others can't? What do we do with the differences between people and the way people are able to live? The vast differences of them. What do we do? What are we doing with the weak? Some questions to think about. Maybe you've thought about them. Maybe you haven't really come up with answers. I hope we can as we go through. Jesus said it's more blessed than to give than to receive. It's this is less about money than it is about a lifestyle. Okay. When the part of scripture that we read, Paul was talking about, you see how I lived among you. I provided for myself. I didn't covet your silver, you know. And so we assume that, oh, well, he's talking about money. That it's better to give and help the weak than it is to receive. But if you look in context, because context is so important in scripture, Paul has spent the whole previous part of his conversation, he had stirred up all kinds of trouble in Ephesus, then he left and went to Macedonia, came back and met with the leaders of the Ephesian church, and he said to them, you know how I lived with you the whole time. I'm just going to skip down through verses of his message to them. I serve the Lord with great humility and with tears. You know I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly from house to house. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. His heart's breaking because this is the last time he's going to see them. It says, but I declare I'm innocent of everybody's blood. I have done everything I can to share with you the good news of the gospel. So he's talking to them about the good news of the gospel. He's talking to them about responsibility. He starts telling them, keep watch over you and the flock, the whole church. Keep watch over them because be shepherds of them, because there's going to be people that come in and try to distort the truth and draw away disciples after them. So watch over the church. Keep watch over them. And then he talks about, I didn't covet anyone's silver or gold. This is far more about his life with them. He spent 3 years with them, pouring himself into the Ephesian people. It was about far more than just money. We're going on this very nice vacation. And kind of like Paul was talking about his investment, I thought, you know, and I've kind of been working through this. You know, we've spent these last years looking forward to this vacation, and we will be spending a lot of money, but you know what else we did during those times? We gave of our finances and gave of ourselves to the work of the ministry. We tithed faithfully during those times, gave over and above in giving to different ministries, paying for youth things, Haiti trip, things like that. We've always sponsored a child of some sort, a compassion child. Now we're sponsoring Merlin, a child from Haiti. We've always sought to pour into others. We've given our time, our energy to the work of the church. Before I was a pastor, I served as a youth leader, as a worship leader, as a deacon, as a board member. We tried to give. Because why? It's more blessed to give than to receive. Our vacations typically are camping vacations. You know, we stay at a campsite for $20 to $40 a night. Our entertainment is sitting around the campfire, eating food. But it's a great time. We drive older cars. We drive them until they fall apart. You know, this is the life we live, in order that we can do both a blessing to others as well as blessing ourselves. Love others as you love yourself, right? Second greatest commandment. It's wraps up in this next verse that God taught us a long time ago. We learned to be content in whatever situation God had us in. Paul said, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty, right? Paul had been on both sides of the track. He had been a Pharisee, an educated person in that time. He was one of the well-to-dos and was from a good family, had good pedigree. Paul was doing fine. And he knows what it was like to live wealth. But Paul also knew what it was like to live on the other side of the tracks too, because after he became a Christian, he was persecuted, chased, driven out of towns, beaten, stoned, and all of those things. And he says, hey, I know what it's like. We're called to be content wherever we are. My notes say, there's nothing wrong with a drumstick on top sometimes. What does that mean? Our rice and beans typically had meat in there, although we had a hard time finding it oftentimes. Somebody would say, hey, look, I think this is goat, or I think this is, I'm like, oh, there's meat in there? Okay. One time we figured it out because Scott had a little crayfish claw in his rice and beans. We're like, oh, there must be some seafood in there somewhere, you know. The Sunday, we were supposed to bring $5 more because we're going to get the special meal. Some of the locals were going to cook us a special meal. We're like, ooh, I wonder what it's going to be. They had all of these white styrofoam things all prepped. Meals, and we bring them back to our table and we open it up, and guess what's inside? Rice and beans with a drumstick on top. One chicken curry drumstick, I think it was. Hey, you know what? It's okay to have a drumstick on top sometimes. For them, that was a special meal, because I don't think they had meat all that often. So that was a special meal. And it's okay to put a drumstick on top of your life sometimes and do special things. It truly is. It's not something we should feel badly or guilty about. It's what's learning to be content, whether God has blessed me with plenty, or whether I am in a time where I don't have two wooden nickels to rub together. Learn to be content. Paul says, I've learned the secret. A secret. Okay, are you ready? It's coming. There's a secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. You ready for the secret? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Whether I'm in plenty or in want, guess where my dependence is? God, thank you for what you've given me, whether plenty or little. Rejoice in what you have. And now follow this teaching. Whether you're poor or rich, remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It's a very simple message. It's better to give than to receive. Right? That doesn't blow your head too much, right? Not too deep of a theological concept. The weak are all around us, people, my brothers and sisters. They're all around us in our own country, in our cities, in our neighborhoods. They're in Haiti. They're in the refugees that we see all in our country and around the world. There are weak, hungry, troubled people. But money isn't the only way to give. So this message is not just about money. This message is about a lifestyle of it's better to give than to receive, okay? Paul felt the weight of Paul was blessed. But he was content with wherever he was, whether he was shipwrecked or whether he had much. And this is a current thing when he says, I have learned, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty. That's a present tense. If I'm well-fed, thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord for this steak dinner. Lord, if it's another plate of baked beans or rice and beans, thank you, Lord. I can do all things. I got nothing today. Lord, thank you for helping me through a day with nothing. That's what we do. So that question I asked, that I saw a few responses. Is it a sin to live like I do as an American, or like we do when others cannot? They're not even anywhere close. How can I enjoy what I have when somebody is so needy? Because I am learning to be content with what God has blessed or not blessed me with, and I am seeking to live the truth that it's more blessed to give. And as I begin to live the blessing, I begin to help the weak as Jesus calls us to, both physically and spiritually. I begin providing blessing. Does our nation need blessing now? I hear Spain. How far are we behind Spain, I wonder? I don't think all that far. As we forsake the truth of God, we will more and more be withdrawn. Let me ask you this. Is the love of God unconditional? Bless you. Is the love of God, how many people think the love of God is unconditional? Raise your hand. Okay. Is the blessing of God unconditional? How many people agree with that? Sometimes? It's unconditional sometimes. I'll tell you, that throws us, doesn't it? Because we say, yes, God's love is unconditional. Yes. The love of God is poured out on everyone, the good and the evil. His forgiveness through Christ was made available to every single person on this earth. But blessings, God's blessings, have always had conditions. I set before you life and death, right? Blessings and curses. Now choose life so that it might go well with you. Blessings have always had with them, this is where the blessing is. There's a pathway to blessing. You stay on the pathway with God, and I'm able to bless you, but you stray off of my path into places that I am not asking you to go, or I've told you not to. And he says, I can't bless you there. I can't bless you over there. I want to, but you've strayed to places that I can't bless you in. God's love is unconditional. His blessings. But here's one of the conditions. It's more blessed to give. Give, and God loves to pour out his blessings on you. Not only on you, but on those that you're blessing. And so the blessing is yours to give. All you got to do is give, and the blessing becomes yours, right? Question again, am I strengthening the church? These are things to ask. Well, how am I doing in living this out? Such an important question, because the church is central to this blessing. For all of our goodness and niceness and kindness and generosity, if the church fails, do you know what happens to all of our niceness and goodness and generosity? It falls to nothing. Yeah, it means nothing. If people are not receiving the good news of the church that brings the gospel, then all of our niceness and goodness will mean nothing. If the church fails, our families will fail. If the church fails, our cities will fail. If the church fails in America, our nation will fail. There's something far bigger than our nationality. It's even bigger than our humanity. It's God. And he created us to be, to worship him. And when we choose not to, then we have stepped off the path of blessing. And our nation will experience the consequences. But when we're generous, the church, when we're generous to the weak, when we are kind as a church, through the love of Christ, to people, not just as individuals, but as the body of Christ, then people are drawn to the body. Who's the body? The body of Christ. If they just are drawn to our kindness and they say, what a nice person Frank is, can I save them? I can't save them. But when they find that niceness is born out of my faith in Christ, and I'm a part of the body of Christ, and I point people back to the church, and the church is strong, the church will be blessed, our cities will be blessed, our families, our nations will be blessed. It rises, church, it rises and falls on the body, not on the individuals, on the body of Christ. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. We're just going to close in a song. The song is called, Here's My Life, I Lay It Down. I surrender it all to you. I surrender it all to you. Here's my life. Let's bow our heads for a moment. As we began our message time, we said, Holy Spirit, my heart is open. I'm listening. Holy Spirit, as you, through your wisdom, search our hearts, Lord, and we are looking at our giving, and our giving not just in finances, but in our giving to others and caring for others, and our strengthening and supporting of the body of Christ, which is Jesus' presence here. Holy Spirit, would you just put your finger upon the things in our lives that need to change? Am I personally active in helping the weak? Holy Spirit, help me to see. Is there something more that I need to be doing to actually make this a part of my life? in my community, in my church, in my family? Is my concern for the church, the bride of Christ, am I as concerned, Jesus, as you are? That the bride of Christ be vibrant, radiant, alive, full of life, full of transformation? Am I as concerned about that as you? Lord, if there's something that you need to do in helping me to be more blessed in giving than receiving, then, Lord, as we worship, would you just put your finger on it, Holy Spirit, as only you can do? If I need to, Lord, help me to write it down. Help me to put it, tuck it away so that I will follow up with what you have. But thank you, Holy Spirit, for being true to your what you were sent here for, and that's to speak truth to us. As we worship, our hearts are open. Speak, Lord. In Jesus' name, and amen.